Welcome to another edition of Marketing Insights, a monthly podcast where we talk to industry leaders about key issues, trends, legislative initiatives, and association news that affects all of us who serve in the construction, industrial, and MRO markets. Sit back now and enjoy as we learn together.
Welcome to Market Insights. Today we're talking with Jack Keough, former editor and associate publisher of Industrial Distribution Magazine for 25 years. Jack currently is president of Keough Business Communications, which is a marketing research and PR firm who works closely with distributors, manufacturers, and independent manufacturers reps in the industrial marketplace. I've had the pleasure of knowing and working with Jack ever since he joined ID 25 years ago. His knowledge of the industry and his contacts within it makes some very valuable insights. So that's what we're trying to get from him today. So let's get started, Jack. Welcome, and I appreciate your time. I guess the first question that we should probably talk about is the economy, since that's been on everybody's mind, and I think everybody's glad that 2009 is behind us. But the real question is, for 2010, what's that going to bring, and what does your crystal ball say about both distribution and manufacturing in the industrial marketplace?
Well, first of all, John, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's always great to talk about distribution with you. Let's just start off by saying, you know, clearly the economy is growing, and we're now in somewhat of a recovery mode. This lengthy recession, which began, oh gosh, now since December 2007, is finally showing signs of easing. Yesterday, you know, the government reported industrial production was up, and the MAPI report and survey on business outlook, which is a group that conducts studies across the manufacturing sector, showed that the production rose faster than any time in the past 5 years. So clearly we are in that type of mode, as I mentioned. I don't know how long it's going to continue, but I could tell you that in talking to manufacturers and distributors, they're pleased with what's happening, but I guess you could say cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic, huh? Well, that's good. That's good. What are some of the biggest concerns when it comes from the distributor's viewpoint?
Well, distributor concerns continue to be, you know, trying to get market share. Let me just, you know, tell you a little bit about what, to show you about the recovery and what's happening and the impact it's having on large and small distributors. Grainger, for example, its sales were up 14% in the first quarter. Its daily sales increased 12% in January, 12% in February, and 18% in March. Now, clearly, you know, compared to last year, anything's good, but those are some pretty solid numbers. Fastenal sales were up 6.4% in the quarter, and sales to manufacturing customers grew 15.7%. MSC sales grew 12.4% in the quarter, easily surpassing its expectations, and PT sales really soared both in the U.S. and Canada. So those are all exciting signs for 2010 at the beginning. Now, if you were to talk to some of the smaller distributors, I don't think you'd see such optimism. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that some of the small to medium-sized distributors listening today would say, what are you talking about? I don't see any signs of recovery. I'll get into that a little bit later, but you had asked about for 2010. Well, the recovery seems to have started a little earlier than some people had originally predicted. Ellen Bolio, who is very well respected as a prognosticator of the economy, he's with the Institute for Trends Research, he said at a couple of sessions this year, industry trade meetings, that 2010 would pick up in the last half of 2010 and then have fairly good growth in 2011. Nothing like we had before this recession began, but certainly much better than we've had in the past. So what we're seeing is actually some signs of ordering and backlogs of products that we haven't seen before, because clearly manufacturing is picking up. And ironically, this sector, manufacturing sector, which lost, 3 million jobs during this recession, may be the engine that drives us out of this economic downturn. I hope that's the case, and certainly it seems to be the case. I mean, just that 15.7% increase in manufacturing customers by Fastenal clearly indicates that, John.
Good, good. From a manufacturing, what are you hearing on the streets? What are their biggest concerns?
Well, manufacturing continues to obviously worry about getting product, but one of the things that's happening while this growth is occurring, we're seeing signs that there could be some raw material shortages. I talked to two manufacturers in the past week who have said that's one of their prime problems that they're facing, is that they're worried their salespeople coming back and say, hey, look, we get more orders are coming in. But there is a problem with raw materials and, frankly, problems with cost. If this continues as strong as it has been, sales I'm referring to, what could happen is you're going to see some shortages. And what happens is when there's shortages, the laws of supply and demand, well, prices go up, and that means inflation. Hopefully that won't be the case, but certainly it's a cause for manufacturers. A second thing for manufacturers, and this came out with Actuant's report recently, financial report, and they did very well, and they think the worst is behind them. Actuant, by the way, is a very large, diversified manufacturer which owns some large companies such as Enerpac, which is involved in infrastructure work. So you would have thought that economic stimulus would have helped them more than some other companies. But that really hasn't been the case. They really haven't seen a large increase in orders as a result of the economic stimulus package put forth last year. A lot of their orders are coming from overseas. And we're seeing this in surveys and customer response that we've talked to, is that the economic stimulus really hasn't helped drive much business. And customer confidence continues to be down. Hiring continues to be down. And, John, there's one other thing that I probably should mention which bothers manufacturers. As business does pick up, there's going to be a crying need for talent, people that can work on the shop floor. And young people just aren't going into the business. I mean, the average age of a manufacturing employee on the shop floor is 56 years old. This is unsustainable. Frankly, there's going to have to be some type of movement that will encourage younger people to get in this business. We still manufacture an awful lot of products in the U.S. despite what you hear in media reports.
Oh, I agree, and I guess across the board, because, again, we represent a lot of manufacturers as well, and both the manufacturers and the tradespeople, same issue, that the average plumber or electrician is 50-plus, and there's nobody going into the trades. I mean, we're going to be in big trouble if we can't get things done, whether it's by a professional tradesman or by skilled workforce people in this country. There's no question about it.
Exactly. And you're seeing also a lot of big mergers going on in the industry. That's something that's going to continue happening. The Stanley deal, of course, was the biggest one, the Stanley Black & Decker deal. That was a huge deal, and we're going to see some more of that going on. We're already seeing it. Both on the distributed manufacturing side. I talked to a large distributor in the PT area the other day who's got two or three offers on the table now for companies. I guess what a comment made by MSC President David Sandler the other day I think is indicative of what we're seeing, and that is that he believes that there's such opportunity for companies such as his to capture additional business and market share through other companies. And one of his quotes was interesting. And smaller competitors who have been having credit problems are going to struggle more and more to meet customer needs. You know, these companies with weak balance sheets are going to crumble and service levels will deteriorate. Well, they think there's some opportunity there, as do many other large distributors, to make some purchases, to expand geographical reach. And in talking to some smaller distributors, I am concerned about their ability to stay in business and survive this downturn even as this rebound takes place. They're going to need capital for additional product. They're going to need expansion. Some smart distributors, even small to medium-sized guys, have absorbed all the cost cuts that they can, and now they're looking for things such as selling products via the web to try to make up for additional business.
Well, I'm assuming, too, I mean, cash is king in any business, whether it's distributors or manufacturers. And I would imagine that the from what I understand when I talk to contractors, especially and some manufacturers, that their credit the credit issues are still very tight, and all the money that the banks have gotten from the government, they're not turning around and lending us. So that's got to be a major obstacle, especially for smaller independent companies. The MSCs of the world or the Grainers of the world, their lines of credit are a little bit less volatile than the $3 or $4 or $5 million distributor down the street here.
Exactly, John. And another thing to remember is, you know, despite those companies we've talked about, the Granges of the world, the MSCs, et cetera, distribution continues to remain a very highly fragmented business. It's made up of a lot of small family-owned businesses, some of them third and fourth generations, and they're having problems competing in the marketplace because they're being stuck between the large distributors and the very small niche players. But it was an interesting report out just the other day that I thought was interesting, that about 44% of family businesses in the U.S. considering a sale may act in the next 2 years. That was a study done by Rothstein Cass, a Roseland, New Jersey-based accounting and advisory firm. And I think you're going to see a lot of companies selling out. I think you're going to see some opportunities for some larger distributors to expand their reach. Some niche players will continue to be strong, those that have strong balance sheets. But it was sort of sad for me just recently to talk to a distributor in the Midwest who, frankly, was very doubtful that he could get through 2010.
Well, that's too bad.
It is, and it's a shame because he's put his heart and soul into this, and he's laid off people. He's done things that he never thought he'd have to do in order to survive. But frankly, orders just haven't been coming in. When they'll return fully, I don't know.
Then, if I could paraphrase what you're saying, as I understand it, that the small niche player, the NAHAD, the power transmission guys, those guys who are specialists, cutting tool guys, they're going to survive because of their expertise. It's the middle market generalists, if you will, are the ones that are going to possibly go by the wayside, and the big boys are going to continue to get bigger.
That's correct, and you're going to see that happen more and more in the future. That's right, John.
Okay. Well, good. Well, that's been very, very insightful information here, Jack, and I appreciate your time. For those who are listening and want to talk more to Jack, he's available. I'm going to give you his phone number as area code 508-734-0029. Again, it's 508-734-0029. If you're looking for someone who is in touch with both the manufacturing and the distributor side of the industrial marketplace, he is by far one of the leading experts in that field. And Jack, I appreciate your time this morning and your valuable insights.
Always a pleasure, John. Thanks for calling.